You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really. What's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Thank you for joining us. Today, our show, we're going to delve into the fascinating, the frustrating, and the fun feline world. Joining us to help better understand the feline mystique, if you will, is our very special guest and friend, Dr. Marty Becker. Hey, Marty, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love being on talking about pets, and I love being on the show with you, my friend.
Well, you're a good man. You know, folks, Dr. Marty Becker has been called the best loved family doctor for pets, and I can tell you for a million reasons. He has championed the papal pet bond all over this universe. He is the vet correspondent for the ABC Today Good Morning America show. He's been on a PBS special. He's had his radio show. He's had a syndicated column with Gina Spadafori. He has the strongest typing fingers. He's written many best-selling books. And you know what? He delivers all his information with not only expertise and smarts, but lots of humor. We're going to be back to chat with Dr. Marty Becker and all things C-A-T right after these messages.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Passengers, please fasten your seatbelts, put your seatbacks and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back. You're listening to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We welcome today Dr. Marty Becker, the best-selling author and resident veterinarian on ABC's Good Morning America. Welcome, Marty. I called you Mary. Welcome, Marty. I'm glad you're back.
Oh,
you didn't have a gender change, did you, since our last introduction?
Sometime during this, I've got to confess to something. Should I do it now or?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I live up in the mountains on Almost Heaven Ranch, deep in the mountains of northern Idaho.
And so I love the name of your place.
We have about a 30 or 40 mile view down the throat of this glacial river valley. We got 150 acres up here deep in the wilderness, and we've got wolves and coyotes and moose and elk and deer and wild turkeys and just everything you can think about up here.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three times we have barn cats, and we've had either dogs or coyotes chase our cats up a tree. And if you ever watch cats go up a tree, you know, they have like these clam ponds. It's very easy to go up, but not very easy to go down.
What do you mean? And what do they have? I'm sorry.
Well, it's like clampons. It's like these climbers you see on Everest where they have those things on their feet where they clamp onto the tree, but they can just go up really easy. But cats really aren't made to go back down, you know. They can't think to go down backwards. And we came home from a trip a while back, and the caretakers of our house said, you know, Colby is this C-O-L-B-Y, this black cat, real creative name here. He'd been up in the tree 4 days. And when I'm talking a tree, I'm talking a 70-foot pine tree. So we waited 4 days. I put cat food down, called him down, put a ladder up there, got as close as I could, which is about less than halfway up. 4 days didn't get up. 5 days didn't come up. 6 days. On the sixth day, I figured out, you know, I told my kids, I said, have you ever seen a cat skeleton in a tree? I mean, well, they eventually come down, you know, somehow they come down, they get weak, they fall down. And so finally he stopped meowing and I thought, oh my gosh, I was worried sick. We're all worried sick for this cat. We tried everything. So finally I got a chainsaw out and I cut the tree down. This is Paul Bunyan. This tree is 2.5 feet in diameter on the base. And he went flying out of there, and he lit about 6 or 8 feet away from my son. And we got him and took him to the vet hospital, and he was very, very dehydrated. But he made it, and he's doing good.
Wow. But that was like two of his 9 lives just taken right there.
For everybody out there, they've all seen these. You know, the fire departments don't get these cats out of the trees anymore. And there are. I finally talked to some people, and not every cat comes out of a tree. You know, a lot of
well, that's the term you were saying, cat skeleton. That's really scary. I guess, folks, we're listening to Dr. Marty Becker, and he knows all things dogs and cats, and he just talked about his real story about Kobe, his cat. He's the best-selling author, New York Times, if we may. That's some small newspaper I heard on the East Coast. The book is called Do Cats Always Land on Their Feet? He co-authored this writing gem with his writing partner, Gina Spadafori. Marty, so basic question, do cats always land on their feet?
Well, they try.
Okay.
Here's what cats do. I've actually watched some kittens the other day that were playing, and there was 5 kittens, and one of them couldn't quite figure it out. He'd just fall straight on his head, and the other 4 were like these X Game athletes. And if you've ever watched them in slow motion, you know, these people that are skateboarders or these BMX bicyclists or anything or snowboarders, what they do is these cats turn their head and they sight the ground, and then they spiral their body into position, and then they spread out. And it's really weird for these cats because they've fallen as far as 42 stories and survived. But they'll kind of get flying squirrel action, and they reach terminal velocity. And the weird thing that they do is right before they hit, they arch their back to kind of take compression out of it, and then they relax. So, you know, I'm 53 years old, and if I jumped off something 18 inches high, I'd stiffen up right before I landed. But cats relax. They arch their back, and they take this compression and spread it over all 4 limbs. And it's really funny, often as a veterinarian, if a cat has fallen out of a great distance, what you see fractured is not their legs, but their symphysis of their chin, where the 2 halves of their lower jaw meet, because their chin will actually hit the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
But, the answer is no, they don't always land on their feet. Yes, they're very adept at spiraling into position, and it's amazing. There's something called a high-rise syndrome where cats will often, you know, leap at a bug or a bird and fall out the window. And and that's why people that live in cities like Manhattan or other places just really encourage people to have screens on their windows.
Yeah, it seems to me that there's a whole new cottage industry of safe enclosures for cats that live indoors that can have a little bit of the taste of the outdoors safely. And so you can be very decorative and chic and most of all functional, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, I
definitely like what you're talking about. Some of these new cat fences and stuff, that it kind of reminds me of a modern day, a really neat little zoo. You know, they have the fences turned backwards. They can't climb over it, yet they can get outside and feel the wind on their face and chase a bug in the grass, and yet they're not going to attack the songbirds and stuff either.
Yeah, and they're not going to be a coyote appetizer either, hopefully. You know, we're talking to Dr. Marty Becker, and he wrote this book called Do Cats Always Land on Their Feet? I love the titles of your books. He's also, for any of you out there, written on many of the successful series in the Chicken Soup line for Pet Lover Soul and Dog Cat. I don't think you've done cow yet. You haven't done for the Cow Lover Soul, but maybe that's coming up.
Done horses, done chicken soup.
Okay, all right, all right. So what made you and Gina Spadafore team up to write this particular book about it's 101 of the most perplexing questions answered about feline unfathomables, that's hard to say, medical mysteries and befuddling behaviors?
Well, we get questions all the time. You know, we have a column, a Nasty Syndicated column through Universal Press Syndicate, and myself being on TV or lecturing to large groups, people ask you questions, the same questions over and over. And sometimes, you know, as a communicator, Art, you probably fall into this trap too. You think you know the answer, so that's the answer you regurgitate, when in fact information has changed or there's fresh perspectives on it. So mm-hmm. what we did is we took 101 of the most common questions that we had, and then we went out to experts, went out to 50 of the world's top experts in medicine behavior and found out the authentic answers to these questions. And I can specifically remember three of them that probably that started this. One was, why do cats urinate on your clothes? The second one was, why do cats go from relaxed to bite when you rub their stomach? And why
right.
do cats go to the person who hates cats? So we found out the answers to that. And do you want me to tell you the answers to those?
We're dying to know. Yes.
All right.
If you want to let's
cats,
go with those.
Why do cats urinate on their clothes? You hear this all the time. That dang cat is trying to spite me. You know,
yeah.
So I'm going on a vacation, I'm going on a trip, and I come home and the cat has urinated on my clothes. Well, first of all, cats aren't capable of spite. That's a human emotion, not a feline emotion. But what happens is cats actually are drawn to the place of the highest concentration of your scent, and that is your clothes, that is yeah. your bed. And believe it or not, what the experts say is they are stressed, they are missing you, so they are giving you a gift. And rather than a gift of chocolate or flowers, they're giving you the gift of urine, which unfortunately most of us don't like.
Yeah, eau de kitty cologne. I mean, you know, you can't buy it in any store.
Not too popular. So
no.
So what do you do? There's two things you can do. One is keep your clothes up or keep your bedroom door locked so the cat doesn't have access to where this, you know, your scent is.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, feel-away, which is the feline cheek hormone.
Okay.
It's a synthetic version of the feline cheek hormone, and we've all, if we have cats or have seen cats, they'll rub up against you, what we call bunting, and they'll rub the side of their cheek against you, and it's mm-hmm. it's like giving you a hug. It's very pleasurable. This cheek hormone for a cat is so delightful. It's like going home after a hard day of work and having two glasses of wine or popping a Valium and just thinking, ah, God, life is great, you know.
Huh?
Well, you go to a pet store or veterinary hospital, you buy a diffuser that has Feel-Away, is the brand, F-E-L-I-W-A-Y. It plugs into an outlet like a diffuser you'd get at a Bath and Body Works. And instead of
right.
spiced pumpkin that my wife has in her house right now, you have cheek hormone in it.
But you can't smell it, but they can, right?
Exactly. Nobody's going to come to your house and walk in and go, oh, my gosh, they've got cheek hormone in here again, you know.
We have to leave. Sorry. We just forgot. We left the dishwasher running.
So the cat, absolutely. It solves so many behavioral problems. 50% of the inappropriate elimination, 50% of the cats that are urinating inappropriately on your bedding or your clothes, that disappears just with the simple application of that diffuser.
You know,
now,
you're right, Dr. Becker. When it comes to our cats, they can't tell you, hey, I really had a bad hair day, or I'm really missing you every time I see that suitcase come out.
Right.
And I guess this is one way of them being able to show you their type of stress, right?
That's why a show like this is so important, because you can help cats or dogs
yeah.
live happier, healthier, fuller lives by actually understanding, you know, this cat's not a little tiny 8 or 12-pound person in a fur coat. I mean, it's a different
yeah.
species. And you have to understand how this different species responds. One of the things that frustrates people, why do cats go from delight to bite so quickly when you rub their stomach? You know,
mm-hmm.
we've all rubbed the stomach of a cat, and you think, well, you ungrateful little devil, you know, it hooks you with its claws or bites you. Well,
yeah, and you know, sometimes a kitty goes airborne, sadly, which should not be done. Do not do this at home, listeners.
Right. Yeah. What's crazy about this is these cats, when they're on their back, that is a defensive posture. A cat is on its back, often right before it's about to be eaten by something, and it remembers this over the millennia. And so when you rub its stomach, you overstimulate it very easily. And so when they hook you with their claws...
Hang on just a second. Speaking of behavior, come here, Chipper. My dog loves the FedEx guy, so he's making a delivery. So Chipper was doing some backup vocals for you. Okay, go ahead.
Well, anyway, they get overstimulated. It's a defensive reaction. So if they do grab you with their claws or do grab you with their teeth, all you do is simply relax and they'll let go of you. Mm-hmm. Now, the third question: why do cats go to the person?
First of all, we're going to go back to that last question and keep people on, but we have to take a commercial break right now. So let's continue with catty behavior with Dr. Marty Becker. You're listening to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk? Then check out the show that will answer the burning questions: where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tart, every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah. So let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave.
Welcome back. You are tuned in to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We're talking today with Dr. Marty Becker, a veterinarian, lecturer, author, and just all-around cool guy. He is solving some feline mysteries from his book, Do Cats Always Land on Their Feet?, which he co-authored with Gina Spadafore. Okay, Marty, let's continue being catty. You were giving us the third most common question you have been hurled at by perplexed people who have cats.
But by the way, I love the name of your show. I love that. I got it. I love it.
It's not just the doggy and the kitties that are doing things wrong. It's all about communication. And I think that sometimes we kind of mess them up, and we just don't understand. I think we're more confusing and contradictory, if you will, than the cats and the dogs. So I'm really in it for the people and the dogs and the cats with the show. So I thank you for that.
Oh, I just love it. I just picture Austin Powers every time. Oh, behave.
Maybe we'll get him on the show. We'll see. We'll
you got to. Oh, behave.
kitties and doggies. All right,
yeah,
so talk
about... Why does the cat go to the person who hates cats? Those of us that love cats, picture us on the couch. There's three of us. Two of us love cats. One person hates cats. Mm-hmm. And those of us that love cats, the cat walks into the room, and there's two of us going... choose me, pick me over the other person. You know, it's just like grade school when you're getting picked for, you know, recess. Oh, please come to me. So come, go. Oh, look at you, it's you beautiful. There's the other person there looking up in the air going, I don't like cats, don't come to me.
Yeah,
so
they're doing the little cross sign.
Right. The cat looks over there, and there's two people staring at it that want it to come, and there's one person not looking at it, and the person that's not looking at it is the person that it finds the least threatening, and that's the one it goes to. So if you want to try it next time if you want the cat to come to you, don't look at it, and if you don't want the cat to come to you, look at it. So
maybe
exactly
you do a little
opposite.
Bit of jumping jacks or something, sing, you know, something from the Cats musical. I don't know. That would probably make me run if I was a cat and somebody started singing.
And Arden, did you know I actually found a world's hairball expert in researching this book?
I'm sorry. What? Really?
How would you like to be the person that knows about hairballs?
You know what? That could be on that one. What's that one show that they were trying to guess who your identity is? One of those reality shows. Now that would be a good one. Who is the hairball expert? Oh, my God. They make a living being a hairball
expert,
huh?
Isn't that funny? Well, if you've ever felt a cat's tongue, it's raspy. It's like this, you know, it's like being, you know, if you feel it on your finger, it's like being caressed by a caterpillar wearing golf shoes. You know, I mean, it feels funny. But it's like a rasp, and it pulls in this hair, and it augers it down their pie hole, and it's got one way to go. You know, once it starts going, it goes down in their stomach, and then when they choose to get rid of it, because the hair is indigestible, they're either going to have a hack attack in the middle of the night, and it's going to come up on your rug, or else it's going to come out the back into the litter box.
Yeah.
And, you know, not too many of us get down there and peer in the litter box to see the hair that's inside the contents in there, but... you know, the fancy name, the scientific name for hairball is a trichobizor.
Let's say so that one more time with feeling.
Yeah, that'd be a real good one for Scrabble, wouldn't it? T-R-I-C-H-O-B-E-Z-O-A-R.
Oh, you won the game.
It's just hair stuck together with a sticky mucus, and you know it's not actually a ball. It's more like a cigar shape.
Yeah, it looks like a mini log, Yeah,
sometimes, you know, sometimes people think hacking is a hairball when actually it can be a symptom of a serious problem like heartworm disease or asthma.
Okay.
And the easiest and best way to prevent hairballs is just brush your cat frequently. So, you know, the more dead hair you pull out on the brush, the less they'll have to swallow when they groom. And that regular brushing is also good for not just your cat, but your furniture.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know, you know, I always wondered this. You know, people think that a dog, you know, they take a chill pill, if you will, by chewing on a bone, preferably one that can't splinter, like a synthetic bone or one of those hard rubber toys. But I was surprised in doing some research on you that I guess cats, when they want to alleviate a little mild stress, I've had a bad day, will actually turn to grooming. Isn't that right?
Right, yeah, groom themselves, groom each other. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's one thing that's really interesting. I wrote another book called The Healing Power of Pets, and we found out in there, we've always known pets were, you know, made us feel good. We just didn't know they were good for us. And actually, when you have physical contact with a dog, this hasn't been proven in cats, but it's suspected that it's the same. When you pet your dog, there's this release of positive biochemicals, oxytocin, the hug hormone, serotonin, you know, the happy hormone for your brain, and then phenylethylamine, which is the active ingredient in chocolate. And
weird
thing is the dog gets the same release of the same chemicals. So it's not a parasitic relationship. It's actually a symbiotic relationship. And, you know, when we're sharing our, you know, a little contented crest on the fur, this cat's curled up in your lap and the little purr motor's running, That vibration of exactly 25 vibrations per second has proven to have to lower blood pressure.
Wow, it is kind of amazing. I call it the full throttle purr. That's what Callie does, and she purrs so hard I think she's going to collapse. She sits there and she looks at me and she's going, and then there's the whole other kind of purr that sounds like a distant thunderstorm. You know, Murphy, my cat, it just kind of comes at you like a wind, you know, like a breeze. I don't know. There's all different kinds of purrs, but have you ever tried this, folks? Let's see if you can. I've been told that we purr, right? But we can't inhale when we purr, but cats can. They're able to do that.
right. Both ways. You know what's funny? When you were doing that, God, it made me laugh, but I think it sounds like a stalling Cessna, you know, like the airplane up there.
I mean, she gets so excited. She's like, hi. But speaking of purrs, I mean, it is true. I mean, we can say toy boat 10 times faster than any cat on this planet, but we cannot purr while inhaling. Can you? Have you tried it?
No, you cannot.
Okay,
no.
See.
And you know the funny thing about purring, too, as a practicing veterinarian, people think of purring as just contentment. But you'll often see cats purr when they're dying, severe pain, when they're in severe pain or when they're dying, they'll be purring. And it's kind of, I kind of think of it like a hug. You know, sometimes you hug because you need a hug, and other times you want to give a hug. And sometimes it's a way of saying, you know, help me, you know, I'm hurting. And other times it's like, I feel so happy, you know, let me hug you.
Well, your book is the one book you were talking about, The Healing Power of Pets. That's an amazing book that really drove home some scientifically based evidence that our pets truly are healing powers for us. And it wasn't just a bunch of anecdotal evidence. And With that said, I guess, you know, in pawing through some more pages of your book, so, you know, do cats always land on their feet? I always, you know, people talk about, oh, dog's best friend is man's best friend. But if we really talk about, if we did a presidential election, it was based on number of votes rather than electoral college, wouldn't you think the cat would actually come up on top?
Cat would definitely come up on top.
And so what's the deal? The dog's got all the PR agents or something? What's going on?
Oh, you know, there's all those jokes about, you know, dogs having owners and cats having agents.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really funny. As a practicing veterinarian, you know, we still see more dogs brought in, that people think of cats as the pet of convenience and think that, you know, they're like, you'll see these cats come in, they're like a fur-covered statue, and the people didn't even notice anything was wrong with them.
Wow.
They had no idea the cat had lost a third, 40% of its body weight. And that's one of the things that I really encourage as, you know, the American Veterinary Medical Association, mm-hmm. working with Fort Dodge Animal Health, has National Pet Wellness Month, where they encourage twice yearly wellness visits. And these cats are very adept at hiding illnesses. In the wild, if they show illnesses, they're preyed upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, birds are even worse, so they try to hide their illnesses. They can't tell you where it hurts. They age so much quicker. You know, that's one of the myths we talk about in here is, you know, the aging of dogs and cats. You know, if you think of a cat that's a year old,
okay.
That's the equivalent of about an 18-year-old human. You know, they're fully mature. They're sexually active. And then, you know, then it goes down. The next year is about age 25, and then it's about 4 years for every year thereafter.
So that dispels the old 9-year, you know, myth and 7-year myth that you
right.
hear commonly associated. Okay, so you've got to think about that's, you know, you're now with a young teenager after 1 year with a cat, but it's different with dogs, correct?
And
Based on their size?
Right, and see, dogs are about 18 for the first year, and then 21, age 2, because then they're a little more mentally mature. You think about them in the middle part of college, and then it's 5 years for every year thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, like you were saying earlier, Arden, about understanding these behaviors. You know, there's cats that like to chew on sweaters and blankets. And I had a client come in last week and wanted to know if there's something missing in their diet. And that's that condition is actually called wool sucking. And
okay.
Wouldn't you like to be the behaviors that come up with that? Or can you imagine the cat pointing over the fence of the other cat and going, Spark, he's a wool sucker, Spark, he's a wool sucker.
I think the wool sucker expert probably gets together for coffee with the hairball expert. You
the trichobizor expert with the hairball.
I think so. But, you know, you're right. That is kind of disconcerting. When I was younger, I had a really amazing cat named Corky, a Siamese,
mm-hmm.
who would go swimming with us. If anybody had a fishing pole, Corky was their new best friend because loved the bluegills, sushi style. But I had this favorite little black wool sweater vest, and I was the youngest of three daughters. So, you know, I rarely got my own outfit. I always had the darn hand-me-downs. So I come home one day after school, and I'm so excited. We're going to go out to dinner, go to put on my black wool sweater vest, and there is a hole in it the size of a cannonball. And there's my cat, Corky, looking quite smug. And it isn't until years later that I realized, A, I got the breed for it, a Siamese, and, you know, he made a big old hole out of my wool sweater. So for our listeners, Dr. Marty Becker, explain why this happens and what can we do about it?
Well, it's in Siamese and these Oriental breeds. It's not, you know, even, but it's not uncommon in the general cat population. They really don't know what it is, but it's nothing to do with the dietary deficiency. It's one of those habits like people who chew gum or pop their knuckles or chew their fingernails.
Okay.
It relieves stress and brings comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And there, again, we go back to that thing of the feel away. There's feel away or other things that, you know, that are like kitty Prozac kind of drugs that really, some of these obsessive compulsive behaviors.
Right.
Sometimes people, you know, if you have something that's really, really valuable, like, you know, great-grandma's quilt that won the blue ribbon at the 1908 Iowa County Fair, don't put it out. You know, either put a decoy blanket out or you can apply a taste deterrent like bitter apple or Tabasco or something. But some experts also think that adding fiber to the cat's diet, whether it's canned pumpkin or just some other kind of a food that's higher in fiber, really works.
That's a great idea. You know, the other thing I thought was neat about your book, Do Cats Always Land on Their Feet? You answer a lot of common questions, but then you share what I call Hey Mabels. You know, Hey Mabel, did you know? And one of the things that fascinated me in your book was you actually wrote a whole page dedicated to the healing power of feline feces, I guess from the ancient Romans' point of view. So none of us, are... You know, we wondered what, you know, the Romans conquered the world, but yet they seem to also know a lot about cat poop. Is that right?
They actually thought it had medicinal powers, and I don't know if it was the lead in the drinking cups, they went cuckoo or what. But funny thing, you know, we live in a horse ranch, and I like many other people, love the smell of horse manure, especially if it's mixed with shavings. Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm going to wear it like cologne, but I actually find that.
Well, I hope not.
Scent.
Next time I meet you, I hope you're not wearing eau de horse, but yeah.
Dog and cat feces isn't the best smelling stuff. I don't think too many people really love to go to that cat. Oh, that ambrosial smell of a cat box. Wow.
The best compliment I think a cat owner can get is having a guest come in your home and not say the first sentence, "Oh, you have a cat."
Right.
You know, that's the best, because if they can walk in and smell, you know, fresh air and clean, you and the cat benefit, and I think that's the biggest compliment. But getting back to your book, you actually said the Romans used this mixture of honey, cat poop, spices, and fat to heal burns and wounds.
Yeah,
no,
we do. We definitely have some Hey Mabel crazy stuff in there. You know, you were talking about walking into your house, and if you've ever watched dogs walk, you notice they alternate sides when they walk. So their right front paw steps forward at the same time their rear left paw does, so it's opposite sides.
Yeah.
And cats are different. You know, they step with both left paws and then both right paws. So this natural gait is called a pace, and only camels and giraffes have that same natural gait, although you can train some horses to have that. But
you know, I'm going to pay attention to my critter crew here. I call them the Furry Fab Four, and see how they walk. I have never watched that.
But it's really weird to watch, because they both left legs, both right legs alternate. Very uncommon in the animal world.
Wow. Well, that's it for today, folks. I really want to thank our very special guest, Dr. Marty Becker, and our producer, Adam Winter, for making the show possible. Marty, you are the Good Morning America's vet. You have written the two very fast-selling books on the New York Times best-selling list, Do Cats Always Land on Their Feet, and Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? How else can people get to find out a little bit more about Marty Becker and what's going on?
First of all, I want to thank you again for having me on your show, and when you talked about many people call me the America's Best Loved Family Doctors for Pets, especially my mother and my publicist are.
Oh, good for them. Well, that's two very important people.
I love what I do, though. I love being a veterinarian. I love being able to talk about issues that related to pets. And people can watch me on Good Morning America or go to my website, petconnection.com.
Okay, that sounds great. Again, thank you, Marty. If you would like to know a little bit more about today's show on Pet Life Radio, it's called Oh, Behave, and get a transcript or any other show on the Pet Life Radio Network, I just ask you to please go visit petliferadio.com and click on the Oh, Behave show or any of the other great shows on this network. If you have any questions or comments or ideas for a show, please email me at arden@ardenmore.com. or arden@petliferadio.com. So until next time, this is your hairball-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all of you, two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave! With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.